is chasing somebody that, you know, you guys are confident can make a transition from, you know, being off the ball to being on the ball?
He played point guard earlier in his career at Stanford, so, yeah. I mean, that's no concern. They had to utilize him off the ball more so this year, maybe a little bit last year, because he was the best scorer they had, so there's no concerns there.
What were your overall impressions of the workout today?
First of all, I mean, the workout was, we had to change the workout a little bit because Ryan Boatwright came in with a minor injury and it kind of affected him. So he tried to go through it early, but he couldn't make it all the way through the workout. So we had to adjust, which is what we do at times. So, but overall, it was mainly a guards workout. Not bad, not great. Could have been a little bit more intensity, I would hope, in the workout. But again, missing a guy, that might have affected it a little bit.
Is that defensive intensity? Just over? I mean, what?
Overall. Okay. Overall intensity, both offensively, defensively, communicating and everything.
Is that disappointing to you guys? You know, when?
I don't know if disappointment is the right word. We would hope that it would be more. And we do so many that, you know, you can't have a perfect one every time. So, you have some bad days, some good days. Kids have good days, bad days. It's one that we, and I've talked to the coaches a little bit about this in terms of trying to have them help pick up the workout. So, you get one every once in a while. But, again, I think, the injury hurt it. I think it could have been a much better workout if Ryan was able to go through the whole workout.
Did y'all know how he sustained the injury, and was this prior to coming to you guys?
It was prior coming to us. These guys go through so many workouts, they do so much traveling. It's tough to take care of your body, so it happens quite a bit this time of year with us trying to bring in guys. We change, well, at least I change players in workouts, and you guys never know it, just because of injuries.
Do workouts decrease in intensity as the time gets closer to the draft, just because they go through so many workouts?
We hope not, but we understand that some of these guys are pretty tired and they've gone through quite a few workouts. And again, we still got another two and a half weeks before the draft. So the guys we keep continuing to bring in later will be, of course, working out more, have more workouts when they come into us. So, you know, I got to stay on my toes, make sure we have the right amount of players in here for the workouts, and hopefully I can get word of it early enough where I can replace them. Sometimes you can't do it.
You had a couple of Pac-12 guys here today. How does that conference stack up against others when you're looking at NBA-ready type of athletes or NBA potential athletes?
To be honest with you, Jody, I don't even look at the guys I bring in. I don't even look at them and see what conference they're in. I just want to bring in players that we want to.
Woo!
I want to bring in players that, you know, we want to take a look at. So, conferences are the last thing I look at. I look at more of the schools, yes. But conferences I don't look at. Matter of fact, I was looking at our list today, and I noticed, I live in Illinois. We got two guys from Illinois today, which I didn't even think about until I looked at where they were from. So it doesn't matter in terms of conference. I'm just looking for players.
When you look at schools, though, what is it that you kind of look for?
I look at coaches' styles. When I do look at schools, I look at coaches' styles. I do look at who they play, when they played them, and how well they played against certain players.
Richardson from Tennessee played a lot of zone last year. How do you think he can work as a primary man-to-man defender in the league?
Again, we've got tapes going back to, or synergy going back to when he was a freshman, when they played man-to-man quite a bit. So him playing zone last year doesn't have that much of an effect, because we do have a lot of video we can watch on him that he can play man-to-man. And he was a very good defender. So it didn't matter. I mean, it's the ones we have concerns with, or it shouldn't be concerns, but the ones we have to really dig deep is like a Syracuse, because they always play zone. But with Konzo Martin at Tennessee, before they brought in Donnie, he played man.
How helpful is it to have like 4 years of tape on a guy like Norman, who, you know, I mean,
it's very helpful. You can see progression. You can see how good he's gotten. You can see if he has gotten better. So it's extremely helpful. Some of these guys we have more than 4 years because we might have a Hoop Summit tape or a McDonald's tape. So it can be more than 4 years.
How has he gotten better if he has?
I think his shot has gotten better. I think he's learned how to play a little bit better. He's always been a guy who played with great intensity. And he's been a fairly good defender. So, I mean, he's gotten a little bit better. A little irritating, but he's gotten a little bit better.
He has a little hitch in his shot. Is that something that
yes.
you can fix?
Yes. Easily? Well, easily, it depends on the mind frame of the player, if he wants to get better in terms of getting his shot better. So that we don't know for sure, but can it be fixed? Yes.
He was somebody that played with a number of NBA guys earlier in his career, and he transitioned eventually into the number one option last year. What did you think of that progression from him, and you know, how do you does it affect him at the next level in any?
I don't know if he was considered the number one option when you have Bryce Alford on the ball most of the time. You had Kevon Looney also.
Well, Bryce considered himself the number one option.
that one would be debatable. In terms of him so-called being the man on the team because he was a senior, and I'm rambling, and I forgot what your question was, to tell you the truth.
The question was, how was his progression as an underclassman, being a supporting guy, to being a main guy if he wasn't the number one option? And can it help? Does it affect his stock anyway?
Well, it helps because you get a different feel on what's expected of you and how you handle that pressure. I thought he had a pretty good year with the year that they had. You know, they really struggled as a team. I thought he played pretty well. I thought he tried to help his team become winners. It helps to have the experience to go through that, to be a third or fourth option, to move up to a number one option. It helps when you get to the NBA, knowing that for the most part, people who come into this league are going to be the third, fourth, fifth option on a team. And can they handle that? And can they progress to be the number one option in time?
What's it been like working with Quinn through these sessions? It's been a few weeks now, and you guys have maybe had a chance to get to know each other.
I knew Quinn when Quinn was in high school. We recruited Quinn, so I've known Quinn many, many years. So, but being able to work with him has been great because he's a very knowledgeable guy. He knows what he wants, what he's looking for, so it helps us. He's been great in terms of talking with certain players and talking with the coaches on what he wants out of it.
About the shot form thing with Norman, how defensive are guys about their shot form? I mean, it's something that they've kind of worked with, you know, for a whole collegiate career in some cases. And then, you know, are they receptive to that sort of change?
Again, that's individual. Some guys are very receptive. Some guys will fight you because they think they're right. So that's what you got to find out as a...
If you have a guy like Sean Marion or Kevin Martin, you know, someone with a crazy shot form, but it ends up going in, do you just... let it happen? I mean, when do you decide to change a guy's shot form compared to just let them do what they do well?
Again, we cannot change it if they do not want to change it. So it's got to be first and foremost the player saying, yes, I want my shot to get better. I want to be maybe a little bit smoother. I'm willing to listen to you and work on it. If the guy thinks he's a great shooter and he has a terrible shot form, I mean, you're not going to be able to change it. So, and the other thing is, you know, this is a results business. So if they got a terrible shot form and the ball's going in, why change it?